Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, canoe polo player Marilyn Wo from Singapore. Her team was ranked 12th in the world and 2nd in Asia. And if you want to get motivated to inspire others, you don't want to miss this episode. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to my show today, Marilyn Wo. Marilyn is a self-employed graphic designer who is also a one-on-one coach who inspires athletes. Now, here's the thing about Marilyn. Her passion is to make a positive contribution to the world, and she does this through showing some athletes some tough love. Very inspirational. So, Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lynette. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Thank you so much for coming, because I've been listening to your podcast, and the name of your podcast is Star Player Academy, and it says right across the bottom of the screen very clearly, serious athletes only. Yeah. I think I broke that rule, but it's been great to listen to you inspire athletes with this tough love. And not that you're just stern and you are very sure about what you're contributing to them. And I love that. Now, Marilyn, we start the show with a quote that is meaningful to you. Did you bring one to share with us today?
Yeah, sure. I do, actually. So my quote of the day would be, some people want it to happen, some wish it to happen, and others make it happen.
Okay, and how do you connect to that?
Because, I mean, in any part of our lives, even for myself, there are times when, I just think about things that I want to achieve, but I just don't move myself to it, and I don't do anything about it. I mean, it does happen to me, and I think it does happen to anyone. And just want it to happen and just want to win a game, you know, that kind of thing. And sometimes I just hope that I will win. So sometimes I just wish that something will happen to my rivals and I can just, you know, win the game easily. But there are others who are more successful. They are winning because they create the chance. They create their own opportunity rather than wait for things to happen, rather than wait for mistakes made by the rivals. So that's the difference.
Okay, now talk to us about what your passion specifically is, where it started. I know that you are an athlete or were an athlete. Do you think being an athlete is something, once you are an athlete, you always are?
Wow, that's a good question. I guess the experience really just brings you somewhere. So after you have been an athlete, you definitely have lessons that you have learned that, I mean, if you haven't been, it will be different. So, but for me, I used to be an athlete and now I'm not because I had a baby. So I had to commit to my family and I would prefer that to be. So I would rather coach athletes this time. So my passion is always been this sport called canoe polo, and it has always been and it will always be. And my experience in this sport has been like about 10 years. So it's quite a long time. So there is a difference when it comes to spending so much time there. And, my life has been there for like 10 years. So it's like I eat, sleep, drink canoe polo. Yeah, that's all I did before I gave birth. So yeah, that's my take. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to insult you by saying the name of your sport incorrectly. Can you say it again?
Canoe polo.
Canoe polo.
Yeah, it can be kayak polo as well. So it's, yeah.
And what exactly is that?
Okay, so you have heard of water polo and you know canoeing or kayaking. So it's actually like a hybrid whereby while water polo, you sort of tread on water and you pass the ball. But in canoe polo, you're in a canoe. So it's a team sport. So it's like water polo where you have five players in the water at one time competing against another five. And there will be a goalpost that elevates from the water. It's like above the water. And so you just play both sides. So you just imagine yourself playing water polo, but the players are in canoes. So while you are paddling, you are passing the ball and trying to get the ball into the goal on the other side.
I get it. Canoe polo. Okay, canoe polo. Yeah. Well, let me just tell you that my sport was swimming. So I can absolutely connect to, your passion with being around the water. I swam competitively for 10 years of my life. And you know what was funny? And this is why I was asking you the question about, do you think that once you're an athlete, you're always an athlete? Because every once in a while, and it happened to me recently this past weekend when we were at a casino swimming pool for my husband's birthday, and I had gone up to let our puppy out because they have puppy friendly rooms now. And so when I came back, my husband said, "Oh, you just missed it." I said, "What?" He said, "Oh, there was a woman here. You would have wanted to race her." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "She had a pretty mean butterfly." I said, okay. Now, obviously, I am getting up there in years. I'm 47 years old with a bunch of extra pounds, right? But I was like, oh, and my competitive juices start flowing, right? And I'm looking around like, where is she? Well, I don't see her. So now, Marilyn, I'm eating wings, the big breaded kind. And drinking a beer, okay? And I am inches from the poolside. And here she comes into the pool. And she steps in, my husband goes, "That's her." And I'm eyeing her up and down. And she gets closer and I go, "Hey, so I hear we should race." And she looks at me. She knew exactly what I meant. She's like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." She's like, "All right, let me know when you're ready." So meanwhile, I had already been standing there with wing juice, helping somebody else, teaching her how to swim backstroke from outside of the pool while I'm eating wings. It was a pretty funny story. But anyway, I get in, I race her, all these wings sitting in my stomach, and she beats me. Not by that much. She was 11 years younger, and she's a great swimmer. So, of course, you know, I'm thinking two things. Number one, I guess it's time that I start losing because I never lose these types of races. I've raced young males. It's hysterical. Mm-hmm. Never lost. I was like, it's my time to lose. So she said, you know, "Do you want to swim again?" And I said, "Sure." And I let it settle, took a few minutes. And about 10 minutes later, we raced again. And this time I beat her. I, of course, what do you think, Marilyn, I wanted to do? You can't have one win and one loss, right? You need a championship. She skipped out on the championship.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
Yeah, okay. She said she would do it, and then she was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I just can't. I gotta go." I'm like, "That's okay, but I'll take the one win." So, when I think about once you're an athlete, are you always an athlete? There is part of you. I mean, look at what you're doing right now.
You're inspiring
other athletes because you have that competitive edge, and you're just in it. And you, even though you're not competing, you feel it for them still, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but I don't know how to really put it because I'm not sure if it's something that I just cannot let go or sometimes I'm just not really clear about that. Yeah. But I just think that it's pure passion. So, you know, I just go for it. So, yeah, you think a lot.
Right. And, you know, I always ask my guests, what was your hesitation or your challenge along the way? And, you know, you're saying that your actual passion is to be a positive contribution to the world through inspiring athletes. Have you had any challenges transitioning into that?
There is definitely because confidence. Sometimes even if I believe so much in myself, there is still this self-doubt nonetheless. And, you know, you just have to go through that mental struggle, take some time and, you know, meditation and all that to overcome that. It's, yeah, I guess it's all part of it. And definitely I've been through a lot of mental struggles to get over it. Yes. Yeah.
Which I find amazing because, you know, one of the things that I would think brings confidence is personal accomplishments such as athletics. Would you consider your career in canoe polo, would you consider that to have been a successful one?
We have hits and misses, definitely. And I must say that I could have done better. There were times, yeah, where when I knew that we could do better, and circumstances-wise, we just couldn't get over that and get to where we wanted to. But then again, it still depends because I learned a lot. And at that moment when we thought that we could do better, it was when I had a different mindset. So it was, you know, it's like a whole experience where it shifted my mindset. And until now, like even until now, I think my mindset is still like, you know, it's like fluid and all that. It's changing around and just absorbing everything in and taking things out again. And, you know, it's like a lot of deconstructing going on. So I guess I did have successes along the way, and confidence is like roller coaster ride. And I take it as like an ATM machine, you know, like you withdraw your confidence and you need to top it up. So yeah, we just need to top it up from somewhere. And when we need it, we can just withdraw and use it. So it's more of that for me. I do acknowledge my successes and use them to help myself to get that self-belief. But then after that, when there's a setback, it definitely just, you know, put me down again. So yeah, it's kind of up and down for me.
You know, I was just going to say that when I asked you if you felt, you know, your team or your career was successful, I could hear the confidence in when you say, yes, there were times we were really successful. And then I could hear your doubts, literally your doubts about the record. I could see you, I'm so visual, I could see you kind of flashing back to specific moments or specific games or specific rivals that, you know, you maybe weren't as successful as you wanted to be. And it's like you were taking that into what you're doing now, the same type of thing. You were, when you're strong and you're doing well, you're confident about that, but you just see where you could do better. And that's, it feels like you're reflecting back onto your experience as an athlete. Like when
exactly that. I mean, wow, you're just like reading my mind. I mean, it's, you know, it's like there was so much. I mean, we went through quite a lot, and I mean, I'm sure you understand because as a swimmer, that definitely you have your challenges as well. And for us, it's like we have coaching problems, you know, all sorts of problems, teammate problems, people getting out of the team, coming into the team, leaving the team. And, you know, we are always short of players and it can get really discouraging. And because we represent the country, so when we get to those world championships and all that, it's a different stage. And it's really tough to be up against players who are more experienced and have better training programs than us, and even facilities, they have everything. So for us, we need to, you know, fund ourselves, we need to set up our own facilities. So these are the things that really just bog us down, and we didn't have such podcasts and any guidance. So, you know, I really just want to provide this guidance for people who need this. I mean, there must be somebody out there. So yeah. So when you're talking about self-reflection, yes, based on my self-reflection, I would like to inspire and help the people who are going through this now and need that guidance. Yeah.
I just got a much clearer picture about who you are and why you're doing what you're doing, because I don't know if we mentioned yet that you are in Singapore.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And that you are teaching athletes. Obviously, podcasts are global, but your focus, based on what you just said now, is that you want to try and give the mentoring to athletes in Singapore that you felt you never had, the support you never had.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Marilyn. How far did your team go in terms of competitions?
Canoe polo is not in the Olympics. It's in the World Games, but it's not qualified to be in the Olympics yet. So we only got to World Championships. So that's pretty much, I think, about 20 over teams for the ladies. The last time we were about 12, ranked number 12 in the world stage. And in Asia, we are second.
What an accomplishment.
We tried our best, definitely, yeah. So
you will, I'm sorry, but you will always be an athlete. you can't Sounds walk good. Away from those challenges and all of that hard work and excitement and accomplishment and not always have that in your blood.
Wow, now you want me to, now you're making me wanting to go back to play.
I hope you do. If you do, please tell me. What do you think that you've learned about yourself in this process?
Wow. Wow, a lot of personal growth, really. It's so much experience because I used to be really motivated to winning games, and I guess it's a growing up phase or something that makes me want to prove myself and those around me that I'm brilliant. You know, it's like an ego self at the forefront. I just always thought that I'm very aware of what I am and who I am, but it's actually the exact opposite. It's like my self-worth was always tied to winning or losing all along for really quite a while. And I didn't realize that because I was quite a young player then. So I was just having fun and really being result-oriented, because I thought that was the only thing, right? Just to win. So it was only when I became a coach of a school team back in, I think, 2007, that was when I started to learn from the players. And coaching the players made me realize more and more about the importance of self-development. And as I was a coach, I was also, you know, playing for the national team. So from there, I translate what I've learned from coaching the kids. And that's when I sort of understood myself more clearly. And actually, if you understand yourself more clearly, that's when you actually can perform better. It's not like, you know, you just train really hard and just work your butt off and, you know, you're really good in that skill, then you can be better. I mean, yeah, you can be better than some people, but to be at your best, to really stretch your capabilities, you really need to understand yourself. And it's really deep down. And that's what I understood about myself through those years. So I understood more about my limits, my strengths, you know, where I can channel more energy towards to let go, to feel happy about myself, then I won't rely on winning to be happy. And that's how I can put more flow in the game. Yeah, this is what I've learned, and really a lot of personal growth.
You're talking about so many coaching things, really. You're talking about everybody being the teacher and the student.
Yeah, that's right.
You're talking about the fact that for a period of time, you labeled yourself as an athlete instead of a whole person.
Right, right.
You know, right. So you're you're talking about how much you've learned from this personal growth at looking at yourself as not just an athlete, but as a woman, as a person, you know, who's representing their country, as a coach who has kids looking up to her, as a wife, as a mom, as a daughter, as a little girl who grew up. That's a lot. You know, you bring a lot to the table. And it's amazing that when working with kids is where you really started to see the importance of all of these things.
Yeah, they show everything. So, it's a lot to learn. Yeah.
Now, do you have a book that you could recommend to people who are listening right now and are inspired by your story?
I recently read this Jim Rohn's book called The Power of Ambition. I think this can apply to just anyone. And I think, I mean, I was affected by that. So I read it twice, and I think that is really good for them.
Okay. And this part of our show, we pick it up a little bit. I believe somebody needs to be able to envision, then explore, and then execute a plan. So if somebody is listening to you and our conversation has their competitive juices flowing, and they say to themselves, I would like to put myself in a position where I am inspiring athletes, and whatever that means for them, how can they envision this for themselves? What should they be able to see?
They can start by thinking of three things, which is the experience, the growth and learning, and the contribution. I'm just putting out what I have gone through. So I guess with these three things, they can picture their goals more clearly and really use imagination to picture that in their minds. The first step is probably meditation, so that it can help to reduce the chatter in the mind. That worked for me. So once that is done, you can start to move on to what you would like to really experience in this whole journey. Imagine and visualize the exact steps they need to take.
Which then leads us to explore. Where should they explore before they can start taking those steps?
I guess for exploring, for myself, I think it's the best is through people. You can just go to people who are doing the things closest to what you like to do best. So like for myself, really just I went to schools and I taught the kids in schools. I mean, at the same time, they needed somebody to teach them. So I had a bit of experience then. So I just went there and just taught one person one by one. And then after that, the whole team. So it's how I did it. So I thought that this can help because people need help as well. So that's when relationships can be built. And then you can ask them questions and you just start helping one person first. And there'll be a willing person for you to teach. And when you teach, you just uncover all the answers by time. Even for myself, I wanted to learn how to coach people. So I had to find, right? Because canoe polo is like, you know, unheard of. So I had to look for a course that can teach such stuff. So I found that Malaysia had one. So I went up there on my own for 3 days and mixed around with the guys there and just learned a lot from there and brought it back to Singapore and just teach the people here. So, you know, it's kind of like, there will be something that will lead up to the next thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome because you're saying, first of all, be a help, meaning, you know, serve other people.
Serve.
Yeah, and through that, you're building relationships, which will make people turn to you for assistance because now you have a relationship with them. And then you're saying, look for programs in your area where you can get the skill you need.
Yeah.
So exactly. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Okay, so to execute then.
Well, I think to execute, okay, a lot of people, I think, overthink here when it comes to doing something great or when they think it's great, because I think decision is the only thing that you need to do. You have just to decide now and just act on it. So you have to really just decide fast. And as we have always known to act fast, you fail fast, you learn, and then just repeat that. So this is just part of life. So yeah, I think just decide really. So it's decision, simply that.
And you know, a lot of what you're talking about to me represents just life. A lot of the things that you learn in athletics, you can bring to life. Your work ethic, right?
Yeah.
Your want to succeed. Your patience in taking the right steps. All of those things, I feel like you have learned along the way during your training.
Yeah.
And just becomes part of your person.
Yeah, exactly.
So what kind of closing advice could you give everybody?
All right, three things. Believe in yourself. Second thing, take baby steps first, but then take bold steps once you have grown. If not, you just get stuck in those baby steps forever. And the third step is to be aware of what's possible for yourself and challenge that consistently.
I love that so much. So Marilyn, let's give everybody your contact information. Now, we are going to make sure that you're a part of the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System, our private group, which I believe you're already a part of, right?
Yes, yeah.
And they'll be able to get in touch with you there. So what other contact information would you like to share?
Oh, they can just look up for me at marilynwo.com.
Okay.
Yeah, or even starplayacademy.com, that's fine, yeah.
And they should check out your podcast for sure because it's really interesting. And if it's anybody who is an athlete, Marilyn talks about specific skills that you can apply to any sport. A matter of fact, Marilyn is going to be on two other episodes of Motivate Me where she's going to be teaching us skills that we can apply to achieving our passions. Right, Marilyn?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we're going to make sure that we do that. This is the part of the show where we give listeners a go-do, something that we suggest they go do today to get started. So what would you suggest for that?
I think the best thing they can do today is to think of a problem to solve. I think it's the best thing to do every day. I mean, as in, once you wake up, think of a problem to solve and solve it today.
Okay, awesome. I love it. Marilyn, thank you so much for being on our show today. It was so great getting to know you, and I have such a respect for what you're doing over there on your podcast.
Thank you so much, Lynette, for inviting me.
Okay, and we will see you later in the week.
Right, see you then.
That's it for today, listeners. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.